It's Four Down Territory with Doug and Wolf.
Four Down Territory is an interesting, it is not List Broadcasting. The reason why it's an interesting topic and an interesting, beautiful part of the program for you is you are ranking things based on what down you think is the most important, not just 1, 2, 3, 4. And we'll give you the question. You tweet us at DougAndWolf987 and tell us what you think are the four things that fit this category. Wolf, Paul, and I will give you ours. Today's question for Four Down Territory: what are the four things going forward that are scary about the Arizona Cardinals?
First down.
And I'll tell you, you can take this however you want. Make it scary for everybody else or what scares you for the Cardinals. What I say is what makes it scary for everybody else is another Most Valuable Player of the Week award for Kyler Murray. As soon as he cuts down on the picks, look out. And when I say cuts down on the picks, it's just because of the total number. And remember, those bad sacks from last year, where are they? He's cut those out.
Yep.
The young man just keeps getting better.
Are you saying look out, Doug, or are you saying tick tock?
Oh, no.
What are you saying? Scary is a balanced offense, a run game that's averaging 5.2 yards per carry, number 3 in the NFL in yards per carry, and number 1 in rushing touchdowns. If you're a defensive coordinator, that is scary when you look at the Cardinals' passing game as well.
Why are the Arizona Cardinals scary? First of all, they're capable of beating anybody in the league, including themselves. Okay, but I digress, ladies and gentlemen. Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins. That's why the Arizona Cardinals are scary. This combination is taking the NFL by storm, and yet this offense is still leaving so many yards on the field. Hopkins leads the league in targets, receptions, receiving yards, and first downs. The chemistry between these two men is only going to get better.
Second down.
Okay, you guys, first of all credit to Command and Control. This is pretty good with the Halloween music from What's Scary.
I feel like I'm in a haunted house in a kid's amusement park right now.
It is good. Number two for me, what makes the Cardinals scary, and this one is for both sides, either the rest of the league or the Cardinals, if this isn't conviction, and that is the coaching. There is a clear line in the sand of a coaching change that's happening, or a philosophical change that's happened here. And if it continues, it's scary for the rest of the league. And if it doesn't, it's scary for the Cardinals. And that is Cliff's reassertion of the running game, that he realized his mistake again in back-to-back Septembers. And now look at this second half. Did Vance Joseph actually make the decision, I've got to be me, I've got to coach the way I've always coached, and I can't sit around worried about whether or not my guys can handle it? If I like to blitz, if I like to be aggressive, and I'm going to trust my corners, just do it. And now that he did it in that second half, it could get really scary for other teams.
Is this the theme from Munsters or Adams Family? I can't decide. Scary is learning how to win the close games. Oh, Seattle entered Sunday's game with a 30-0 record when leading by 10 points at halftime in the regular season since Russell Wilson took over as starter in 2012. And what did the Cardinals do? They beat them and beat them at their own game. The Seahawks were at a loss to explain the loss because literally they'd never been there and done that, collapsed in the clutch. In fact, the only quarterbacks to ever throw 3-plus touchdown passes and overcome a fourth-quarter deficit of 10 or more against the Seahawks would be Kyler and Tom Brady in the Super Bowl at State Farm Stadium.
It's starting to happen right now. My second down of four down territory has got to be the playmakers, ladies and gentlemen. The playmakers. Kyler Murray, of course. How many NFC Offensive Player of the Week award? 2, ladies and gentlemen. That's right, DeAndre Hopkins. I already said what he leads the league in. Everything that really matters as a receiver leads the league. Larry Fitzgerald hasn't even gotten going to the point in which he will, I believe. Christian Kirk is starting to flex his muscle. And then you've got Chase Edmonds. Playmakers, playmakers, playmakers. They're leaving a lot of yards out on the field. When they get that buttoned up, this is going to be a sick offense.
Third down.
Now we're serious.
No, I want the Dick Dale surf guitar. Go back to the Dick Dale surf guitar. Google that up.
First of all, we know right now, ladies and gentlemen, this is the scariest movie of all time. Is it not, Basin Onions? Halloween.
The third down for me. Don't look now, but Pat P is finally starting to look like Pat P again.
Oh.
Now, I'm not talking 4 years ago, like totally locked down.
You sure about that?
But I the reason why is the sample size Pat P isn't big enough yet.
Okay.
I want more. But Pat P, if this is really who you are again, and you've realized who you need to become, you have just become a scary duo with you and Buddha.
In fact, speaking of, I'll go scary. Takeaways. Guess what? The Cardinals defense has figured it out. It's not unlike when Happy Gilmore learned how to putt. Uh-oh, here comes a Cardinals defense that had four takeaways 2 games ago and now 3 interceptions of Russell Wilson. Buddha has learned how to pick a pass off, even with the cast, 1 each of the last 2 games. So guess what? Scary is when a Cardinals defense all of a sudden is taking the ball away from you.
All right, my third down of 4 down territory on this scary, scary Wednesday, ladies and gentlemen. Honestly, right now, the offensive line, a solid offensive line for the Arizona Cardinals. Kyler Murray isn't getting hit the way that he was last year. Now, he's making better decisions, there's no doubt about that, but he's not getting hit. He's not getting sacked anywhere close to last year's levels. The Cardinals can run the ball and do it well. Even losing J.R. Sweezy hasn't slowed this offensive line down. Sean Coogler is a great coach. And Justin Murray has won the MVP of the room for being so versatile. The offensive line for the Arizona Cardinals, solid, getting better with each game.
Fourth down.
Busted on the dance floor, ball. What do you say? You go ahead and break out the dance shoes, ladies and gentlemen, and unfold the chair and then fold it.
How about you want me to break something out? I've got some wedding video here that somebody needs to see of you on the dance floor at somebody's wedding.
Hold the chair and unfold it, Paul.
The fourth down.
I call this the deck chair.
There was also an anniversary party where I have some dance video that would not be very... You talk about complimentary
Ball.
Football. This would not be complimentary to your image.
Paul, I want you to go ahead and tweet that out right there because it's my better side, I believe.
Well, that is true. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I don't want to see it.
Well, you need to redeem yourself after that shot of you and Kevin Ray from 20 years ago. Let me tell you that much.
This is Buddha, and this is why Buddha is my fourth down.
Yeah, man, it was a play where, you know, I was kind of not supposed to be there, but...
You know what's scary now is when quarterbacks know Buddha can go wherever Buddha wants to go, what does that do for your pass rush? When a quarterback takes 1 extra second to make sure where Buddha is before he throws. And if he doesn't check where Buddha is, it's scary because Buddha's coming and he might hit you or he might take it away.
A young, handsome Kevin Ray with a square jaw couldn't save you from your own dipsy-doo hairstyle, Ron Wolfley. Let's put it that way.
Hey, Paul, that was no hairstyle, by the way.
I don't know what that was. Scary. Scary.
Never frosted my... Hair ever.
Scary is when the Cardinals rank 2nd in the NFL in total yards per game at 419. And have they had that max game yet? Have they had that game where you said, you know what, in Cliff Kingsbury's verbiage, they've been super extra? Think of how much they've left on the field every single game. And they've gone 10 straight games with 21 or more points. Scary is what's left. What's still under the hood and the upside, especially on the offense?
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, my fourth down of 4 down territory. And what is scary about the Arizona Cardinals right now is this defense is starting to find its legs. This defense is improving right now. A top 10 scoring defense in the National Football League. Number 10, as a matter of fact. And oh my goodness. That was on display, was it not, as I hit the post, ladies and gentlemen? That was on display in Sunday Night Football. Yes, they got butchered that first half and gave up 27 points and came out in the second half, made the adjustments, and suddenly 7 points. That's what they allowed in 39 minutes of football. Incredible. Buda Baker, starting to expand his profile, not only on this defense, but also nationally. And that trend is going to continue with the Arizona Cardinals. Their defense makes them dangerous.
Not everyone can broadcast and break it down and compliment themselves on the fly, pat themselves on the back
especially
as they're doing it.
Hitting the post of an instrumental of a not the actual song because we really can't.
Where was the post?
Right here,
there wasn't even a post to hit. I don't know what you're referring to exactly.
Well, you know what, Mitch, you felt that, didn't you, right there? You saw, yeah, of course.
I've been feeling it this whole segment.
Exactly. That's what
also, if I may, I didn't know Paul had rhythm.
Oh, he doesn't have rhythm. Paul is a folding deck chair.
Coming up next, other than scary things like Wolf and Paul dancing, should the Diamondbacks be scared of what the Dodgers just did? Because they might do it again? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
I see dead people.
I don't know if he's listening online right now, but hi, Dad. My dad used to listen to this song on a 45 all the time. All the time.
Really?
This is Edgar Winter Group, Frankenstein. This is the B-side of the 45. The A-side is that song, Free Ride.
Wow, really?
Yeah. I used to hear this all the time as a kid. I thought this was really weird.
Memories come gushing back.
But speaking of Frankenstein, what is scary is if this is the Dodgers ripping off the Band-Aid and now not being scared anymore, not being able to be afraid of the pressure. You saw in Clayton Kershaw interviews a smile that I've never seen before from him. And listen, you can talk all you want. Of course he's smiling. He's a champion. But that was the world has changed for me moment. If you see a camera angle from the bullpen, as soon as the last strikeout happens, everybody comes running out of the bullpen except Kershaw. Kershaw just puts his hands in the air in blind elation, and he doesn't know how to process what just happened. And it clearly looked like a guy who is no longer in pain, which scares me as a Diamondbacks fan.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You do have to wonder about that right there. It's kind of like breaking the seal, right? Ladies and gentlemen, you hear that
exactly all
the time, breaking the seal.
Heard it all the time in college.
Breaking the ceiling, ladies and gentlemen, going through the ceiling, right? We hear that all the time, don't we, DeAndre Ayton? This is what we want to see. Guys actually superseding expectations and I think, honestly, that's a good observation. I could see that happening with this team. They're loaded, absolutely loaded. They got Mookie Betts for 11 more seasons. Oh. Just knock it off. Are you kidding me? What year is that again?
2032 is the last time.
Okay.
Mookie Betts is a free agent going into the 2033 season. And due to his age and the way people are playing later, that contract runs through all of his 30s. He doesn't become a free agent until he hits 40.
32 years. It's been 32 years since the last time the Dodgers won a World Series. And now all of a sudden, here they go, and they're set up.
And who did all – you can tell, even though I don't want, you know, them to win, you can tell what a good dude Clayton Kershaw really is, because guess who all his teammates wanted to talk about?
You know, there's a few guys, JT, Kenley, but Kersh especially, you know, that man's the best to ever step on that mound for me, and this just solidifies it. You know, he's worked his tail off for this many years, and to be there that many times and have that much, not failure, but the losses, you know, those wear on you, and to his resilience of just always coming back, always coming and always attacking people and always dominating, it's really special for him, man. It's really special.
That's your World Series MVP, Corey Seager, saying that. I mean, you think you're the MVP and you're thinking of Kershaw. East Side Zone Cody Bellinger.
Oh, man, you have no idea. I saw him right after we were done. Pure joy, man. Like, no one deserves it more than him. Like, the best dude, the best teammate, and he's been through it all as well. And for him to come out on top, man, I feel so happy for Kersh and his family. He deserves it.
That is incredible, right there. Just listening to the love that his teammates is giving him. That is really, really cool. It reminds me of the locker room and the clubhouse, whatever you want to call it, the dressing room in hockey, whatever it is. It just reminds me of how important certain guys are in that locker room. Not everybody is created the same, ladies and gentlemen. It's just a fact of life, as we all know, and especially when you put it inside the paradigm of a locker room or a clubhouse. Just the impact that a guy can have, not only the tangible impact that he brings to whatever sport it may be and his abilities and his skills, but also all the intangibles that come with it. You can hear the love in these guys' voices when they talk about Clayton Kershaw.
And that's what gets really scary for the Diamondbacks, because now how much better is a pitcher is Clayton Kershaw with that curse lifted off of him? How much better is Walker Buehler even going to be because of what he's done? How about everybody else in that dugout now that they're champions and you've got that burden lifted? You would have to imagine there's a sense of relaxation, and yet they're still that good, which makes it even scarier for the Diamondbacks going forward. We're going to talk at 8:45 with Torey Lovello about this very same thing and ask him about how he is looking at that. And then the other part of it is simply the Dodgers themselves and why they won. And there is going to be an analytics war that goes on, I totally believe, after this World Series, when analytics has so much to do with why the Rays – one of the lowest paid teams in baseball was able to get to game six of the World Series, yet Kevin Cash will have to live with the decision for the rest of his life of I pulled one of the hottest pitchers going in a crucial moment and had it blow up.
And in World Series history.
And if that wasn't bad enough, here's like one small tidbit that's not talked about enough with Kevin Cash. There's even reasons to justify pull. I don't like him, but if you want to justify pulling Blake Snell, let me ask you a different question. Why for Anderson? Anderson had given up a run in six straight postseason games. I mean, if you're going to pull Blake Snell, listen, if Bob Brenly's
a good reason, I'll tell you that much.
If Bob Brenly's sitting here and I say, why are you pulling Curt Schilling? And he goes, Randy Johnson said he's ready. Oh, okay. You know, okay.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
If you're going to pull Blake Snell, don't you have to have someone that strikes fear in the L.A. Dodgers? I don't think Anderson does that.
No, that's a great observation, Douglas. It really is. But the thing I just could not get over, Basin Orleans, was the fact the Rays had exactly what they wanted. They had the lead, an early lead with their bullpen waiting. Exactly what they wanted. Yeah. You've got Blake Snell. The great irony of this, you got Blake Snell on the hill, and he is lights out. Lights out. And you could just see it. Kevin Cash couldn't wait to get to his bullpen. He couldn't wait to get to his bullpen. A Rosarita had his 10th home run of the postseason. Stop and think about that for a minute. 10 home runs for a Rosarita. Think about that. His 10th home run. And then Blake Snell was on absolute fire. And Kevin Cash made a decision, and that decision changed the fortunes of this game and the fortunes of the Tampa Bay Rays.
Since you mentioned it, we don't normally do it here, but that's the wrong button. But a special research at Doug from play-by-play voice Tim Healy.
There are only two players to ever have a season and postseason combined with at least one home run every 12 at-bats. Randy Arozarena and Babe Ruth.
Now, come on.
Randy!
Both of those two guys, every 12 at-bats, had a home run in the regular season postseason.
I mean, honestly,
that's never happened.
Right now,
it was just Babe Ruth.
You've got to be kidding
me. How hot he was. So, listen, I don't look at the manager and say, you cost the Rays the World Series, because they scored one run. Okay, you're going to lose almost every game in baseball history when you score only one run.
That was the best thing.
And Kevin Cash has absolutely nothing to do with that. That's on everybody else on the team. But the decision was called disgusting by Harold Reynolds last night on MLB Network. Here's Mark Teixeira.
You know, everyone says, well, the third time through the lineup, you know, you shouldn't let your starter go through there. I just don't understand it when you have a guy like Blake Snell, who the pedigree of a Cy Young, 9 strikeouts through 18 batters and was completely dominant. There was nothing that he couldn't do on the mound. 97, 98, pinpoint accuracy with that four-seamer. Mookie Betts, Corey Seager, and Justin Turner, who are all all-stars, by the way. They were 0 for 6 with 6 strikeouts. So if there's any time in this postseason to keep a starter in there after 73 pitches, it would have been tonight. But it's not what the Rays did.
0 for 6 with 6 strikeouts.
I just can't believe it. I mean, you hear it all the time, right? The problem with analytics and the fact that it doesn't really take note of trends, human nature.
You've got to be able to feel that.
You've got to be able. It's the combination of the two that you have to mask.
Torrey Lovello.
One or the other.
I can't wait to hear what he says. Torrey Lovello coming up 8:45, Diamondbacks manager, to talk about analytics and the gut and who should win in situations like that. You know about our virtual tailgate. If you've texted GATE to 620-620, make sure you're listening next. Plus, is there a potential Kime time sign? It's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The Arizona Sports Virtual Tailgate. Virtual Tailgate. It's your cue to call.
One of the coolest things that we've ever done, you get the opportunity to possibly win yourself a $700 barbecue grill and a custom Arizona Sports cornhole set, plus be a part of the Arizona Sports Virtual Tailgate. It's all presented by Four Peaks Brewing Company. And right now, did you have any idea that a former Rams running back lives in Santan Valley? I didn't know this.
Really? Lawrence McCutcheon.
But the winner, if he calls in 10 minutes, is Steven Jackson from Santan Valley. Maybe not the Rams, Steven Jackson. Steven Jackson, you are on the clock. You have 10 minutes to call right now.
602-260-9870.
If you are not Steven Jackson, don't bother calling, because we ask the questions only Steven Jackson knows, so you're just wasting time.
What if you're Wendell Tyler?
You cannot call. You do not win. Steven Jackson, you are on the clock. You have 10 minutes to call in. If you do it, the $700 barbecue grill and the custom Arizona Sports cornhole set are yours. However, make sure you are listening in the next beautiful part of the program. And at 7:47, we'll let you know whether or not Steven Jackson called in, and then you can steal it. So don't call in now to steal it. You can't have it.
Right. Todd Gurley, stand down.
Now, the people that do need to stand down, obviously Wolf remembered because he's riding furiously right now, Paul.
Who is the best in the NFL? Duggan Wolf's Power Poll.
No notes.
Brought
nailed
you by
it, Paul. This is a no test.
The best electricians in the world.
Here's how this works. Years ago, everyone in Arizona Cardinals Nation, at about the same time in this season, started to get mad because the Cardinals were good and the national media wasn't giving them a lot of attention in polls. And Wolf erupted at all of you for caring what the national polls say.
Exactly right.
So what did we do? We then did a power poll right in Wolf's face.
We mock it.
So here are the top five teams in the NFL, ranked factually by me and subjectively by Wolf and Paul. Number five this morning is the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay Packers have had a wonderful year, but there's one catch. The teams they've played are only 15-24 so far this year, and they've played three teams that only have one win. So Packers are good, but the teams they are playing are not.
The key here to the number five and everyone above number five is the fact none of those teams are named the Seattle Seahawks. So we'd like to start by saying that Seattle is no longer in the top five. You're out!
Wow.
As Green Bay, I hate to agree with Doug, Green Bay is number five. I wanted to put them four, but they don't have a defense, really. Not that I've seen. So Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, number five.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Paulie. I also wanted to put them higher in this poll. I just could not do it because of that defense right now. But they still have Aaron Rodgers, the Green Bay Packers, number five.
Number four.
Paul, I second your message. I did the math, and other than the Cardinals, the Seattle Seahawks opponents are horrible. Combined, it's a 14-25 record. It's the worst record of any team you would even remotely consider to be in the power poll.
Your defense is worse than Dallas. I say no more.
I really struggled with this team because I, like you, Wolf, I say the Ravens got to be higher than fourth. But I like a team that nobody else is going to like, and I had to give them credit. So Baltimore even though they're 5-1 with wins over a good Browns team and a good Chiefs team, or they played a good Chiefs team but lost, I got the Ravens at 4.
You know who has 15 touchdown passes and one interception in his last five games? You ever heard of Tom Brady? Tampa dominated, jack-stomped the Raiders in Vegas, and then you got a Todd Bowles defense that has figured it out. They figured out BA's passing offense. Hello, Tampa is number 4.
I got number 4. I got the Seattle Seahawks, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, I understand the Arizona Cardinals beat them on Sunday night, but this is a special team because of Russell Wilson. They're going to continue to light up the scoreboard. There's no doubt about it. Their defense stinks. They suck buttermilk for the most part, but it's not going to matter because this is a team that is going to win at least 11, 12 games somewhere in there. The Seattle Seahawks, number 4.
Paul and I do not have the Seahawks in, therefore we've already won the Powerball.
Number 3.
The question is, does Wolf still have the Rams number 2? Oh!
Paul, no. That was a mistake, an anomaly.
Number 3 for me, Paul. I'm going to do you one better. I now put the Tampa Bay Bucks this high. Oh, even though they're 5-2 with two losses, you know I care about opponents' record. They are the only team that you could even remotely argue belongs in a Power 5 that have played above 500 competition. The combined record of the teams they've played are 24-20, and they've played two teams with 5 wins and one team with 4 wins. They've had by far the toughest schedule, and they're hot. The Bucks are number 3.
Doug might be getting an early start on Beer Friday. Number 3 would be Baltimore coming off the bye. Guess what? They're healthy now. They're hosting a Pittsburgh Steelers team. That's going to be a statement game. It'll be a bloodbath, the most physical rivalry in the league. The Baltimore Ravens, they are proven. Lamar Jackson hasn't even maximized his game yet. Ravens number 3.
Yep, the Ravens number 3. Baltimore Ravens right now. Yes, they've got the Steelers game. That's exactly what they need. By the way, exactly what they need to awake the giant that they are. The Ravens, number 3.
Yeah, Ravens Steelers this weekend. You!
Number 2.
Number 2, I got the Pittsburgh Steelers at number 2. They are 6-0, which is fantastic. However, they've played two teams with only one loss and two teams with only one win and two teams with only two wins. The schedule is atrocious. They've beaten Cleveland and Tennessee. That's it. They deserve credit, but they don't deserve to be number 1.
Doug, are you the selection committee in college sports? You keep going to strength the schedule. Is there RPI in the NFL?
Yeah,
what's going on?
They only beat the Titans and Browns.
That's it.
Kansas City.
Teams.
Kansas City is obviously number 2. They jack-stomped the Broncos. They put a 43-burger up on the board. Although they might lose points this week, even if they stomp the New York Jets, you know what? That's so bad, using Doug's metrics in terms of strength of schedule. They might actually lose a spot in the Power Poll after you beat the Jets.
Paul just absolutely jacked my Power Poll, ladies and gentlemen. The Chiefs, number 2.
No. Number 1. Numero uno.
Unbelievable. Don't believe the hype that other people will pile on Pittsburgh. Kansas City is still the best team in the NFL.
Doug, no. Pittsburgh went in. They beat a 5-0 Titans team. Yeah, it took a missed field goal by Gostkowski at the very end. Whatever. I mean, they dropped the Titans out of this power pole as well. The Steelers are proven right now. Both sides of the ball, they're number 1.
Ladies and gentlemen, I had the Pittsburgh Steelers in the power pole from week 1. Week number 1.
That is true.
The Steelers may make it all the way to the top. Number 1, the Steelers.
You need to hit the close for Paul and Wolf.
You're
really bad.
The Doug and Wolf NFL Power Poll.
The fact I didn't have the Steelers in at all until last week was worse than whatever shirt that Wolf was wearing in that picture with K-Ray from 2001.
That was brutal. I mean, I may have been tipped off.
We do have a tweet
too on some of this stuff.
We do have a tweet from someone that asked, "Is that the fine feathered hair you always talk about?"
No,
that's a listener that said that.
I have no idea about
that.
I don't even remember having my hair like that. But I can tell you right now, that was no frosting. I'm telling you, I've never dyed my hair. Let it go. Never.
I'm interested that you guys could care less about the road. Do you know the Chiefs have won 4 road games? The Steelers have only won 2, and one of them was against the Giants.
Yeah, I'm just looking at players and how well they're playing. That's what I look at.
Well, I play pretty well against the Giants. So I don't
By the way, this just in.
Played pretty well against some pretty good teams, too.
In honor of Kevin Cash, the bald boss man is out of the dugout right now, and you guys have had a pretty darn good show, dare I say dominating show so far, but Luke Lipinski is ready to come in for you guys right now. Just to let you know, you're done. You're done for the morning. Right. Luke is out here. He's ready to come in and take over for you guys. Just the analytics say you're done. There's no way.
You shouldn't listen to us for a third hour.
You shouldn't be here for Torrey Lovello at 8:45. You're not ready to face Torrey Lovello.
Paulie, you got the power of a double-A bat.
Coming up next, you got to listen because we'll give you an update on whether or not Steven Jackson called. You might have the chance to steal his grill. That sounds like a good hashtag.
Yeah.
We've also got James Betcher and Torrey Lovello coming up later on today's show because somebody texted me about the Marcus Golden trade and was gushing. Mm. So he's coming up today.
Was I just called a double A battery live on the air, by the way?
That
an insult?
Yes,
and next,
put it on your time.
What can stop the offensive MVP of the week? It's Kyler Murray again. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
I'm a Duracell, buddy.
The Arizona Sports Virtual Tailgate. Virtual Tailgate.
So now is when we find out whether or not we went 3 for 3. We were 2 for 2 with back-to-back people, Luke and Karen, calling in on Monday and Tuesday. Steven Jackson's clock ran out about 2 minutes ago during the not-so-beautiful part of the program. Let's get the official word. Did Steven Jackson call in Command and Control?
He did not call in.
He did not call
in. Our streak is over.
Steven Jackson, what are you doing?
Therefore, we have right now an ultimate virtual tailgate experience to give away. You could win a brand-new $700 barbecue grill that you have just stolen away from Steven, because Steven didn't call, and a custom Arizona Sports cornhole set, and you will be invited to the virtual tailgate presented by Four Peaks coming up on Sunday just to sit and talk ball with Arizona Sports personalities and a special NFL guest. And we get to throw out a number in honor of, let's go, in honor of Kyler Murray, but not jersey number. In honor of the fact that he has won 2 offensive players of the week.
I see.
There is your caller number. If you are caller
2
right now, you are a winner.
602-260-9870.
And you steal Steven's grill.
Nice.
Yeah, I like that.
Love that right there. Steven Jackson, ladies and gentlemen. What was he doing?
Failed us.
Failed us big time right there.
Now, if you're a little jealous and say, hey, why didn't you call my name? All you have to do is text GATE to 620-620. That's text GATE to 620-620.
Who wants a grill?
And tomorrow morning at 7:30, be listening. And if we call your name, all you have to do is call in 10 minutes, and the grill is yours. The $250 prize pack from Four Peaks is an opportunity for you to win during the tailgate, and the Arizona Sports Cornhole set is yours. All thanks to our friends at Four Peaks Brewing Company. Cliff Kingsbury, head coach.
Where did you find all this stuff, Minch?
Thank JV.
Oh, man, this is good.
That's
okay,
good.
JV
I didn't know
actually
that.
Helped out.
JV, nice. Thank you, JV, for pitching in, especially as busy as you are in the late October, early November with your other job at the other station.
Even though tomorrow, Bays and Onions, which will be my last day of the week, I'm just... I didn't mean to say that, Doug Gleason. Rub that in your face.
Yes, you
maybe
did.
Just a little bit right there.
French national anthem is cute.
Let me just say right now, Halloween. I want John Carpenter's Halloween. I want that to at least once an hour. Once an hour tomorrow. Getting ready for the spook night, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. Halloween. All Hallows Eve. Can't wait for that. The scariest movie ever. Halloween. John Carpenter's Halloween. As we all know. We don't want to derail this beautiful part of the program, but...
You didn't mind, did you?
Is there anything scarier than a dude in a mask walking around with a blade? Yes, I think so. We all understand the...
Yeah, most of us have masks on now, so it's just kind of...
Yes, I'm talking about a mask of a different sort.
Oh, I see.
Scary. Scary stuff right there. When it came out, you can't even imagine my young crunk brothers. You cannot even imagine the impact this movie had on culture. You want to talk about pop culture? Oh, dominated by the movie Halloween, which was based on the book Halloween by John Carpenter.
Reminds me of the fantastic, sorry to give him a free plug, but Geico commercial. When you're in a horror movie, you make bad decisions. Why don't we just get in the running car?
That is a good.
It's so good. Let's get behind the chainsaws. Cliff Kingsbury was on the Scott Van Pelt podcast, SVP podcast, yesterday. And I love the simplicity of the question. I have to give it to Scott on this. Very simple. Why is Kyler more comfortable in year two? We all say a quarterback is more comfortable in year two. We all say, well, he knows the offense. But really, why is this specific quarterback more comfortable?
Yeah, I think the game has just slowed down for him. He went through it last year. Last year, I mean, we threw him into the fire. The first day that he's in the facility, he's the starting quarterback. He goes with the ones, and he's taking every snap, and he's directing traffic. And he really knew the system better than anybody else because he played in a similar offense. But he went through the fire. He knew that he could do it. He knew he could survive. And now watching him move and get through his progressions and knowing when to take off with his feet, it just looks like a different guy. And that's without an offseason as well. So I think the rest of this year he has a chance to really take off.
I think the biggest improvement with Kyler Murray is in regard to his decision-making, just how much better decisions he's making right now. Notice the sacks that we saw last year, how many sacks, I forget what it was, but how many sacks, double digits, where he just didn't throw the ball away when he had the opportunity to throw the ball away and ran a yard out of bounds, right? And when he had the opportunity to actually not take those sacks. So I think his decision-making, I think reading coverage as well and where he's throwing the ball, I think he's made better decisions overall. I knew coming into this season that was going to be the one area I wanted to see him improve. In fact, we talked about it all offseason, was just his decision-making overall and his leadership. Those are the two areas I want to see him continue to develop, because never forget, Basinonians, to be a true franchise quarterback, that's what you've got to develop. You've got to be a great leader. You have to be able to lead men. And if you're not able to lead men, CJ Cutler. You can have all the talent in the world, but you have to be able to lead men. And that means being a man yourself. Kyler Murray's a young guy right now that is developing and growing, and that's where he's got to continue to develop and grow. It's not just about being a franchise quarterback on the field in between the white lines. It's also about being a franchise quarterback off the field and during the offseason and leading men and making good decisions.
Dan Orlovsky is kind of the rising star of analysts within ESPN. I don't know about nationally yet, but I love the things Dan Orlovsky has to say. And on ESPN Monday, he said this about Sunday Night Football, and I don't think it's an overstatement.
He's settled into the nuance of the position and how to manipulate people with his eyes. He's a fantastic thrower of the football, and he's the fastest person on the field every time he gets on the field. So, you know, it's just an incredible performance. To have it on national television was great. And to do it against a guy like Russell Wilson, who's, you know, leading the MVP vote right now, it was a kind of a coming out party for Kyler.
I love the way he said that right there, because it really is, right? The first game he ever played, I talk about this, I reference it all the time. The first game he ever played, he brought his team back down 18 points in the last quarter, going into the fourth quarter. Down 18, brought his team back. I that blew me away, that in his very first NFL game, after all the talk about him being too small and he's 5'10", shouldn't have been the number one player, take it all.
Who said he's 5'10"?
Just stop it, okay? Honestly, you know everything that was said about him, and yet to go out and stink the way that he did, and the offense in the first three quarters, and then find a way to get it together in the fourth quarter and brought his team back to go into overtime, and it ended up in a tie. That, to me, said so much about this kid and the moment not being too big for him. And I think that was on display Sunday night.
This is something you say after week 7 when you have no idea how the next 9 weeks are going to go, and you know, Cardinals could easily fall on their face. But I'm already interested in the 2020-2021 offseason. When the salary cap probably goes way down due to loss of revenues, there's going to be a lot of players that are going to be out there. How many of them were watching Sunday Night Football? How many of them think these Arizona Cardinals have something going? How many of them feel like, you know what, maybe Cliff Kingsbury and Vance Joseph are good coaches? You know, Larry's still there. Boy, this Kyler is fun. I have a chance to win. If I'm going to take a pay cut, if I'm going to play, and if I'm going to put my body on the line next year and play, I at least want to go somewhere where I have fun and I think I can win. And it does feel like the Cardinals are building something like that. We won't know until the offseason, but it just makes you think if you've got – money's always number one.
Yeah.
Always. But all things being equal, it does put Arizona in a different place to attract free agents next year.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And there could be a ton of them.
That's a great thought, Douglas. Really, give yourself the wolf howl, as a matter of fact, because that is a great thought, especially at the skill position. If you know, man, you know what? Hey, listen, I just came off this really good year right now, and you're telling me that the salary cap is going to be reduced and teams aren't going to have the money. I'm going to sign a one-year contract. That's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to sign this four-year contract at a reduced salary. I'm going to sign a one-year deal. And why wouldn't you go to a place you felt like you could totally shine and benefit from, with the likes of a Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, being surrounded by that? If you were a tight end, a wide receiver, right, or a running back.
Or if you're a DB, you got Buddha over the top to protect you, and you've got teams that are probably going to be chasing their tail and throwing a lot in order to catch up. Man, you could make a lot of money on a couple interceptions.
How about
in one
a guy
year?
That liked to rush the passer?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me? All the leads the Arizona Cardinals might be playing with next year. Yeah, let me rush the passer.
We're going to talk to James Betcher coming up in about 20 minutes, the former defensive coordinator of the Cardinals and Giants, and huge advocate of what the Cardinals did just a couple days ago. You're going to want to hear what James has to say and the inexplicable pulling of Blake Snell in the World Series last night. We'll get Torey Lovello's opinion, the manager of the Diamondbacks, coming up at 8:45. Up next, anybody but them. But would we have even had a Game 7 tonight if it wasn't won last night? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.